Ever since we migrated out of Africa millions of years ago, human beings have moved around in search of better food and a better place to live. And of course, we're still at it. When you talk about migration, well, I immediately think of moving countries, leaving your homeland in search of a better future somewhere far away. But there's also plenty of us who do that on a smaller scale, moving to live somewhere else in Australia for maybe for work or for money or for love. But does moving actually improve your life? This is what the economist Arthur Grimes is interested in. He's a senior fellow at the Motu Research Institute in Wellington in New Zealand and joins us via Skype. Hello, Arthur. Welcome to Life Matters.
Yeah, hi, Amanda.
Now, what got you interested in studying people moving around Australia, given that you're in New Zealand?
Oh, well, we're not too far away. One of the reasons is there's a lot of work in economics in recent years looking at the role of what might be called well-being in public policy. And we wanted to test whether measures of well-being, such as life satisfaction, actually affect what people do with some really major decisions in their life. And one of the most major decisions that you can make is to migrate, either between countries or within countries.
And the data set you used is the HILDA survey, yeah? The Household Income and Labour Dynamics in Australia survey.
That's right. We've done some work internationally on this, but one of the ideal things about HILDA, the HILDA survey, is that it follows a large number of Australians over many years, and it includes their decisions as to where to live within Australia, and of course a whole lot of other material about them as well, including their wages and their life satisfaction and all their other personal characteristics.
Well, what prompts anyone to pull up stumps and move around the country will often be related to work, I think, to find work or for a promotion or to earn more money. But what you were looking at was something you call subjective well-being in relation to moving. Now, what is subjective well-being?
Well, we were looking at those labour market things that you mentioned, wages and employment, etc. But subjective well-being is a broader concept. It's if you ask somebody essentially how happy or how satisfied are you with your life overall? And that's a measure that's used in many surveys throughout the world. And it's used in the HILDA survey and many other statistical surveys. And people answer it on a scale of 1 to 10 or 0 to 10, where 10 means they're very satisfied with their life and 0 means they're terribly dissatisfied with their life. And economists and psychologists have increasingly found this has a lot of tie-ups, relationships between other things that are going on in people's lives, their health, whether they've just retired or not. People tend to be a lot happier if they've just retired for some reason, all these sorts of things. So it seems to have real content to it.
Well, now, a study somewhat similar to yours that was published last year in the United States found that often people move to, in quotation marks, unhappy places. What's an unhappy place and why would you want to move to one?
Yeah, well, this was the odd thing about that research. It was one by one of the most famous urban economists in the world, Ed Glaser, and his colleagues. There are places you imagine in the Rust Belt in the US, which generally where people, on average, in those places are not very happy with their lives. And yet they found that still some people moved to those places. And their conclusion was, well, you know, people actually move to unhappy places, not just to happy places, and wondered why, how that tied up with the subjective well-being literature.
But tell me more about what you mean by an unhappy place.
Well, you imagine if you ask people who are living in, you know, in a really nice area, in let's say in Australia, on average, how satisfied are you with your life? Many of those people, on average, will say that, you know, they're very happy. Whereas if you ask somebody perhaps out in the Northern Territory or somewhere who's living in a pretty tough environment, they might, you know, say, you know, on average, people there might say they're less happy with their life. They might answer, I'm only a 6 out of 10. Somebody on the Gold Coast might say they're a 9 or a 10 out of 10. So they were looking just at the average sort of happiness in these places. What we found is that, yes, sure, some people will move to unhappy places, you know, places where on average people are less happy. But, of course, they do that as part of a lifetime decision-making process. You might move somewhere that's not particularly nice, but you do that because you get good wages and you can use that later in your life and move to a really nice place later in life.
So you delay your subjective well-being for a bit.
Yeah, that's right. And more forward-looking people might delay it more and earn bigger wages in the meantime and then really enjoy their retirement later on. You know, so it's going to be different for different people.
This is Life Matters with Amanda Smith and Arthur Grimes, a New Zealand economist at the Motu Research Institute in Wellington, who's been looking at why people move cities or towns within a country and the effect it has on their sense of well-being. And if you've moved from one place to another, tell us why you did it and did it make you happier? You can let us know on our Facebook page. So, Arthur, your study shows that people do tend to be happier when they move. Now, tell us more about what you found.
Yeah, and it does depend on the type of person that's moving. But what we found is that on average, when people move places within Australia, they tend to end up quite a bit happier than when they before they moved. Now, they may have moved for, say, job reasons or wage reasons, but generally once they've moved, they're a lot happier. And that goes right across the board. Virtually every group that we looked at, whether it was men or women or young people or old people, people moving for work-related reasons or not work-related reasons, they tended to end up happier. Not always richer. So many people, when they move, actually take a cut in wages, but still end up happier.
Now, you mentioned it does depend on the type of person who's moving. So tease that out for me.
People who move, say, to be closer to friends and family, they tend to, or for a new lifestyle reason, those people tend to be quite a bit happier after they move. So they, you know, they've moved for those sorts of reasons, and it certainly comes about. If they've said they've moved because they wanted to be in a better area or live in a better area, those people tend to become a lot happier after the case. People who retire or who move, we don't know if they've definitely retired, but people who move around the age of retirement tend to become a lot happier. On the other hand, people who move for a new job or for a work-related reason, they end up a little bit happier, but they're about the only group that end up with definitely higher wages. So many of the other people actually end up with lower wages but end up being happier.
So now, Arthur, how does knowing this stuff help you as an economist? I mean, what you're saying really sounds a bit self-evident to me. So what's the usefulness of it?
I think it's really important from a local government point of view. What we also found is if we tried to predict where people went based on the characteristics of those places, while people might leave for job reasons, they tend to choose a place depending on how happy overall that place is. So if I was a local government policymaker and I wanted to attract people to my area, I wouldn't just be concentrating on the sort of raw economic type, you know, things like jobs and wages. I would also be trying to make sure that my place, my area, was a really nice place to attract people to come to live. So it's a very important role for local policymakers, is not just thinking about the economic side, but thinking about the broader amenities that they might be offering in their local community.
And how long does it, on average, say, take people to settle into a new place? And does that influence their sense of well-being, this subjective well-being you're talking about?
No, we find that actually in the first year of moving, people have a big leap up in their subjective well-being, and unusually that stays up for at least 4 years. We follow people for 4 years after they've moved, and this is quite an unusual result in the literature. Generally, people's subjective well-being returns back to where it was after some event, but having moved, actually almost invariably people stay much more satisfied once they have moved.
Okay, so just tell me more about how your time of life or your age affects your decisions to move and how it works out for you.
The two age groups that seem to benefit the most from moving in terms of subjective well-being are the young, you know, the people sort of say under their mid-30s, and older people say, you know, over 50 and, you know, especially over 60 or so. So it seems to be at either end of your life that you choose to move to places which raise your well-being quite a lot. people who are sort of stuck in those family years when you're perhaps a bit more constrained about your choices don't get as big a payoff to moving as either end.
Yeah, and presumably, and as you're implying, that's to do with whether you're moving with children or not.
Yeah, you know, you're more constrained, obviously, in those years when you've got a family and you're working up in a job, you know, working your way up in a job and things like that. I think your choices are more constrained, so it makes it more difficult for you just to move to a really nice place that that you'd really like to live in.
Are there any gender differences when it comes to well-being and moving?
Yeah, this is a fascinating finding. We did two studies, actually, and one really concentrated on gender differences, both within couples and within singles. There's a very strong result in the international migration literature that shows that when a couple moves, the male tends to end up with higher wages and the female tends not to, or may even reduce their wages. Now, when we looked at it for the Australian data, we found exactly the same thing. But what we found is that women who move tend to end up a lot happier than men who move. So it tends to be the case that men become richer and women become happier when they move as a couple.
Well, that's because the women are leading a better lifestyle because their husband's earning more.
Well, that's one possibility. It may be that they're more adaptable. There are all sorts of reasons. We don't know what it is, but it's a fascinating finding that that the women are the ones that end up better off in subjective well-being terms, whereas men end up richer.
All right. So, Arthur, is moving then to a different town or city something you'd recommend as a way to be happier?
Well, clearly, if you're happy where you are now, one wouldn't want to recommend that you move. But if you're stuck somewhere and things aren't working well for you, and unless you're really reliant, obviously, on local friends and family, then maybe that's something you should consider, you know. And Australia is a big place. It's a very diverse place. It's the type of choice you could make to improve your well-being.
And Arthur Grimes is a senior fellow at the Motu Economic and Public Policy Research Institute in Wellington in New Zealand. He's analysed this Australian data about people who move from one city or town to another and the effect of moving on their well-being. And thank you, Arthur, for telling us about it.
That's fine, Amanda. It's been great talking to you.
And we asked you to tell us about your experiences of moving from one city or town to another within Australia, why you did it and if it made you happier or if you have any regrets. And Michael McKenzie has some of your stories.
Yes, good day, Amanda. On Facebook, many comments, some positive, others not so much. Margaret writes, "My experience is not a happy one. I moved in all good faith to support the family who are now separated. I am now stuck in a place where I clearly do not feel at home." And Dirk says, "I still regret that we moved from beautiful and fantastic Perth to Tasmania when I was in my teens. I have a lot of great memories of Launceston, but I've never liked Hobart. Unfortunately, circumstances have meant that I've been unable to move from here a lot earlier than I would have liked, but thankfully it's now on the drawing board." Catherine, who now lives in Rutherglen in Victoria, sent us this voice memo.
"Hi, I moved from Melbourne to Corowa, New South Wales, approximately 20 years ago. I should know that, my daughter's 21, to escape a family violence situation. We lived in Corowa, New South Wales, for approximately 10 years. It was a lovely place to live and fairly busy. I became a guide leader and a gardening steward for the local show. Then I moved to Rutherglen, Victoria, and I preferred that much more. It's a very inclusive community and I really like that. I'm involved in all sorts of things. It's been great for my daughter and we really enjoyed it together. Now she's moved back to Melbourne and so the circle goes on, but country will always be important to her and I'm glad that I instilled that in her from an early age."
Now to Eleonora and her story, which includes the experience of coming to Australia as a migrant.
"I was born in Hungary and my family left when I was 5. It was a very sudden and abrupt move. We defected to Austria and we spent 11 months there until we were accepted by Australia. We arrived in Melbourne in 1983 and a few months later we moved to Brisbane where I grew up. About 15 years later after uni, I took a job based in Katherine in an Aboriginal community for a few years. I then moved to Darwin for 18 months, then Port Hedland, WA for 6.5 years and I've been living in Perth for 6 years. Moving as an adult has allowed me to feel like I'm in control of my circumstances. It's helped me settle into my Australian identity and I can say that I've been to Australia. So yes, moving has made me happy and I like to think it's given me everything I've wanted and needed."
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for that, Eleonora. And now a perspective on moving from Christina, who begins to feel an itch, just as she and her family are finally settled in a place.
We have moved quite often, usually for work, a couple of times for schooling for the kids. The longest we stayed in one place was 5 years. Every time we move, it's like a new start. We've never liked living in the major cities. We'd prefer the smaller towns or regional cities. And I think maybe this has made moving less stressful for us. I'm from Canberra and my husband's from Perth. The places we have lived in since 2001 are Alice Springs, Norseman, Perth, Darwin, Townsville, Cobar, Nanup, Busselton, Kalgoorlie and Geraldton. We've always involved the kids in the decisions. We've explained the reasons and our thoughts and why we needed to or wanted to do each move. So it's never been an issue with settling them in. Certainly as they get older, they do miss their friends. They don't want to move as much. But generally, they can see the benefits and the reasoning behind it because we don't move just for no reason at all.
I think that's fantastic how Christina's involved and her partner have involved their children on every one of those very long list of moves.
So much moving.
So much moving. And she goes on to say that she wonders how her children will be as adults, whether they'll be homebodies or people who like moving around like their parents.
Yeah, fascinating. Well, thanks so much for all your comments and voice memos on moving home and whether it's made life better for you or not. Do keep them coming. You can record a voice memo on your smartphone like Christina and all the others and send it to us by email lifematters@abc.net.au.